Now, ladies, this is not a picking on ladies morning. But, no, I'm not. I am not going to pick on you this morning. I promise you, I'm really not picking on you at all. But I'd like to ask a question. You don't like questions?
No.
No. Have you ever purchased anything that was a knockoff? Fake? Imitation? Couldn't afford that purse that cost $8 million, and so you bought the one for $15 when it really cost $700 or something nonsense like that? Why would you need a $700 purse? I mean, you know, really. You haven't got $700 put in that purse. But, you know, there are things that are imitations. Some things are good. You know, some things are... you look at our floor. That is vinyl plank. Looks like wood, doesn't it? It has the appearance of wood. But it has more endurance and will last longer than wood. We have real wood up here on the platform because I'm special. I'm trying to get you guys to lighten up this morning because what I'm going to say today may not lighten up anybody. But you know, we have been purchasing things. We do things that are, we think may be real, but it's not. Man-made products. Richard and I have done this many times. We put in what we call cultured marble, all right? We do showers, we do tops, we do all these things and out of cultured marble. Now, if you can afford real marble, my number is 744. but we put it in. It's beautiful at last. It's generations removed from the old stuff, and it's really nice. I mean, it's a good product. You know, if you can't afford granite, which I think anybody nowadays can really do granite just about as quick as they can do anything, but they have all these other products that are not, they're man-made stuff. You know, people used to buy, oh, this is the best stuff in the world, until they accidentally set a hot plate down on it and it blew it up. You know, then they wanted you to fix it. I said, well, I got some super glue we can put on it. You know, but we buy things that sometimes are nothing more than an imitation. They're fake. They're just the, I guess you say the term might be pseudo, because it's not real, it's false. It's made to look like it. Back in the early 70s when I first came to Texas, we would go out to a little place. Now it's a really neat place called Warren Park. Well, it used to be nothing but a little creek that ran through there. It had one little hole, and you could go jump in, and the water went down around all these rocks. And there was gold, real gold. You don't believe me? What's that?
Real fools.
Yeah, real fools go pyrite, you know? I wouldn't know any better. I thought Texas had all these kind of things. So I'm down there, we've got these nuggets of gold, you know, but, you know, they were pyrite. It was fool's gold, okay? So, but it was gold. We watch television programs. You ever watch a parody? You know what a parody is? Okay, it's something that, how many people know Arnold Schwarzenegger? Have you ever seen a parody of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Terminator? This little skinny guy comes in on a motorcycle, and his arms are about as big as mine. He's still got the Arnold glasses on. I'll be back. You know, and of course, it was a joke. I mean, take one look at that little skinny thing. He couldn't touch Arnold. But it was, you know, it's just a parody. What is it? It's a fake. All right? It's not real. And I want to talk about that this morning because I want to talk about things that have to do with what is authentic. You know, we can buy stuff online today. It says authentic, major league apparel. You got to have a certain logo to make it authentic. Well, what is authentic Christianity? That's what I want to talk about this morning. authentic Christianity. We live in a world of imitations. And there's a lot of imitations of Christianity. There's a lot of things that use the words, but to me, authentic Christianity is genuine. It's sincere. It's honest. And maybe the one I like the most, it's thorough, completely through you. Every part of you is that. It's not inferior, as so many Christianity games that people play and preaching you hear at times. Not hollow, not false, not counterfeit. It is the real thing. It's the real McCoy. It's all those things. It's not about show. It's not about pretense. It's not about something that's shallow. It's not something about over-the-top emotions, even though we see that all the time. You know, they can cry all they want to, but it's not, the Spirit of God's not moving in that right at the moment. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with emotions, because I think genuine emotions is absolutely necessary. But I think that we see so many that are just really, they're counterfeit. It's not about temporal. It's about eternal. It's about what real Christianity is about, because it's solid. It's something that's within you. It's not something you hang on yourself to go to a certain place and be around other people. It's substantial. What you got from God is substantial. It's living. It's not something that's dead. You know, you got life. It's lasting. It's just as that. It's eternal. It's the difference between what is truly counterfeit and, like money. You know, people today, they got to hold that thing up to the light to see the little strip through the paper. You know what I'm talking about. The difference between counterfeit money and real money. They make it harder to just to print it up yourself. It's the difference between cut glass and diamonds. Even though I've seen some things that I thought, wow, look at that. Yeah, it cost me $4.95 on special. Yeah, not $4,000 or $49,000, just $4.95 online. It's the difference between 24-karat gold and something that's just been plated to make it look gold. Spray-painted, maybe. I don't know what all to say. But it's something, when it comes down to our faith, when it comes down to true Christianity, when it comes down to authentic Christianity, it's a question that needs to be asked. What is the character of authentic Christianity? What is your character? Is it worth talking about? Is it worth explaining? Now, I'm recognizing this to be the truth. It may be weak. It may be somewhat feeble. It may be flawed like I am in many things and got defects in the walk and all the things that we talk about. But is it authentic? Is it true? You're not the perfect patron saint that everybody watches, but you're true. You're not perfect, but you're true. You believe. It's who you are. You know, I think that's the thing that's important. But today I want to really spend time thinking about, how do you ever tell the difference? How can you know what is real and has authenticity to it, and what doesn't have authenticity to it? What is a put-on thing? You know, what is something that, because to me, I really think authenticity is really a very rare thing today. In fact, I really think it's sometimes it's so rare that it's almost uncommon. We got a lot of talk, but we don't have a lot of walk that goes with the talk. You can call it non-reality. I call it unreality. But it's one of the greatest dangers that Christians fall to today, as they did in the Word of God thousands of years ago, and tens of thousands, all of those things right there. In Isaiah chapter 29, at verse 13, the great prophet Isaiah is making a statement to the people. And he's making the statement, and it's the same one that Jesus picks up in Matthew's gospel. in the 15th chapter, the 8th verse. He's saying to them, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They say a lot, but they don't believe a lot. If you look at the parables of Jesus, I mean, we're very familiar with the parables of Jesus. I want you to just to notice something this morning, that many of them have a strong contrast between who is a true believer and one who is a disciple in name only. And I mean, it's obvious to me, and if you really spent the time and you went through each one, the sower, there's contrast there. The weeds, the two sons, the wedding garment, those all bring out the 10 virgins. You know, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish, talents. You talk about all of these things. The 2 builders, one's on stone, one's on sand. You see, it's a sharp contrast between what is real and what is not real. What is enduring and what is temporary. They all have this one thing in common. There's a great difference, if you will, between what is authentic and what is unreality or non-reality. I mean, it's just there. It's something that we see all the time. But when it comes down to our Christianity, if you bought into something that's built on sand, something that is fake, something that we hear all the time today, and people pay a lot of money to these purveyors of what I call false doctrine, they lay it all out. All that it does, it shows you the uselessness of their faith. And it is useless. You see, we live this life to glorify God. But when you really get down to it, what is it that you put on a show and it impresses each one of us, maybe, but it doesn't do anything for Christ? And I think every one of us would be repel at that. I mean, we just don't want to have any part of that because we know it's not authentic, we know that it's not thorough, and we know it is not true. When you consider for a minute the language that Jesus used. In Matthew's Gospel in the 23rd chapter, there's a statement that he used over and over. In fact, he uses it 8 times. You know, it's that one where it says, woe unto you. You know that part? You remember. I mean, you don't have to look it up. It's right there. 8 different times he is pushing out, he's announcing to the religious people of his day. He's saying to you, you're nothing more than a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, this is harsh. I mean, he's laying it right out to him. And he says in the 33rd verse, he says, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Ooh. Now, we're talking about the one that's gracious. We're talking about the merciful Savior that's using this terminology, and he's saying those things. And man, those are cutting words. You know, for religious people, how would you like somebody to say, you're nothing but a hypocrite? You're a snake. Well, if Jesus is saying it, you might want to pay attention to it. You might want to examine why that is what it is. Those people that he said it to, well, they were probably more moral and probably had other things that have higher traits than it was a tax collector or a prostitute. But yet the tax collector was called to serve as a disciple. The prostitute was forgiven. And the glories of God came upon her. All those things took place in their life. So what is he saying to us? He's saying to us that the things that we may be faulty when it comes down to lust, you may be faulty, okay? You may do something that is not the very best that a Christian could do. And if you keep doing it, it'll ruin you. But if you repent, God will forgive, right? But if it becomes your lifestyle, what is God going to do with that? How's God going to handle those very things? That's what Christ is saying is nothing more than hypocrisy. because it's a counterfeit. It's not who real, authentic Christians are to be. You say, well, I how do you know that? Well, think about some of the things that you've seen, some of the things you've read about. How about false repentance? Let's go to the Bible. That's the best place to start. King Saul. There's false repentance. King Ahab. How about Herod? Oh, how about Judas? I mean, all of them had feelings of sorrow. I mean, Herod was, woo, he didn't want to kill John the Baptist, but he did. He didn't want to have him murdered. But they never truly repented of their sins. They never truly sought God out and had repentance of sin right there. How about false faith? You know, that's something big today. We talk about we're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift. It's not of each one of us, but it's of God. But how about false faith? Simon Magnus, you'll read about him. You can read about him in the book of Acts. Simon Magnus was a true believer. He was. He'd been saved. He really was following after the church. And Simon Peter comes down from Jerusalem. They want to see what's going on in Samaria. Well, excuse me. Come up from Jerusalem. I was like, people, would you learn that Houston is south? Okay. So you're not going up to Houston. You're going down to Houston. All right. You go up to Dallas. I'm going down to Dallas. What are you going to do, Milwaukee first? I don't know. Okay. That's beside the point. Simon Magnus was in Samaria, and he did all these things, and he was a true believer. Well, they sent Simon Peter up to Samaria to see about it. Samaria is definitely north of Jerusalem, okay? So he gets up there, and what does Simon Magnus say? I want to buy what you got. I love that part where you lay your hands on them and they're healed. Can I get me some of that? What does Simon Peter say to him? You might want to repent of that. It's not for sale. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God. And the very power that we have is that gift. And it's not for sale. It's not anything yet. If you want to check that out sometime, not right now, Acts chapter 8, you can read about all that guy. You look in the book of James. Book of James talks about devils believe and tremble, but it's false. It's a false belief. It's a false faith. All of those things. How about false holiness? Now, I come from a long line of those that, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and live godly in this present world. I believe that. I believe that is what every Christian ought to do. But there was a king named Joash that was a king of Israel. And he walked, or king of Judah, excuse me. They were split at that time. He was in Judah. So he appeared to everybody to be holy. He appeared to do everything right. He was a good king and all that. But he was good as long as, which one was it? Which priest was that? Jehoadad. Yeah. Jehoadad, as long as he was alive, Joash was wonderful. But Jehoadad died. And when he died, so did the real faith and the real holiness of Joash die right along with it. And he became who he was, a real person, but it was one that did not glorify God. His religion went out as soon as. That's out of 2 Chronicles. You see, sometimes you just look at people's lives. While they're around Christian people, everything's cool. You don't know Joash, I can tell. But you do know Judas Iscariot, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you know who Judas Iscariot was, your head bobs up and down like a bobblehead, okay? All right, we know who Judas Iscariot. Did you realize that all the time that he walked with Christ for those 3.5 years, he was no different than any other disciple? You didn't pick him out as being bad. He didn't have any tendencies. He was just like every other disciples until the day that he betrayed Christ. It was just that way. Look at it. You don't believe me? Go back and search through it. You don't see his name being brought up as bad. You don't see any of this. He is not mentioned in any other way, shape, or form, but as a disciple of Jesus. Handled the money. He did all of these things. But if you go back into John's gospel in the 12th chapter, you're going to find out he was nothing more than a thief. That's exactly who he was. He was a traitor. He was that kind of a person that did all of those things that we don't like. So he had a false holiness. And that is another thing that people tend to go to. How about a false love and a false kindness? Ever met somebody that's so sickening sweet, it's hard to be around them? Oh, you're so wonderful. You think it's wonderful. It's okay. I take pills for that kind of stuff, okay? But when you talk about their affections and you talk about, they are just way over the top. Oh, brother, it's so good to see you today. Hang on to your wallet. You look at their heart, you examine them, they don't really love you at all. They're just putting on that nonsense so you'll think something good about them. There is a false kindness and a false love. In 1 John, John makes this statement, "Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." There's not only false kindness and love, there's false humility. You ever been around somebody like that always pose a false humility thing so you'll compliment them? Ever been around anybody like that? They pretend to be meek and all the things, but in reality, all it is hiding their pride. That's all that it is. It's just one of those things. Or Paul speaks to forced humility, and he talks about that, and he talks about it in Colossians chapter 2. He says it's an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship and their false humility. How about false praying? Ever heard one of those great prayers? You've never heard one of those great prayers, have you? Okay. Have you ever heard what Jesus said to the Pharisees? What did he come down on them mostly about? It's about their prayers. It's about them standing out in the public and praying. I mean, that was their special sin. That's what the Pharisees, they all dressed up and they prayed these big, long prayers. Why? To show everything. This is what the Word says in chapter 23 of Matthew. He says to show they make lengthy prayers. I remember going to a church in Indianapolis one time and the pastor started praying. I swear the man prayed for almost 10 minutes. I wanted to say, is that your sermon? And it went about as high as his head, but, you know, it was one of those kind of, and I shouldn't have said it, but I did, and I was young, and I just didn't really think it was, you know, what should have been said. And I just said what I thought about the thing right there. You see, their sin was to get you to pay attention to them, to impress each one of those people. Their prayers were not authentic. They were not. They were just simply words that they put together. They could spin a phrase, and that's great, but it's still false. How about false worship? Ever been in false worship? Ever been so excited that you can't hear anything that anybody's saying? That was the passage that we lifted up to you this morning. That was my text. These people honor me with their lips. They say big things, but their heart's far from me. It's far, so far away from me. He's saying it to the Jews to start with. That's what Isaiah said. And then Jesus picked it up and said it back to the Jews one more time 1,000 years later. He said the exact same. You're still the same kind of people you were that the prophet said. You honor me with your lips, but your heart, no, it's nowhere near me. Nobody was more formal in the synagogue than the Jews. Nobody tried to march to every little thing, but it was one of their fatal defects because they were not authentic in their beliefs. They talked it, they just never walked it. So what do we have today? It doesn't take much to look around, you know, and I warn you, you probably don't want to look around, but I think It's something that you need to be aware of. I mean, I think that, I think a certain guy that I know, that one of my favorite people, if I want to watch television, needs to put a disclaimer. This is for mature Christians only. Because everything I'm going to say is not genuine. It's not true. I am not a real preacher. I'm a wannabe. I make this stuff up as I go along. But I do it with such compassion that everybody, well. And yes, I am judgmental. Okay, I admit it. That's one of the things I'm working on. Okay. But we need to know what is real, what is thorough, what is genuine, and what is authentic, what is true. And we need to know that when we're listening to somebody, they are everything that they say they are. So you have to be asked that, those kind of questions. Look, you look around in church today. It's not this church, as Dave says, Carter. It's the church down the street, okay? But they look around in that church down there. Of course, you're going to find those kind of people that are right there that have nothing but churchmanship. They know how to walk in and out. Come on. They say it. They're members of the church. They were baptized in the baptistry. They got married in the church. They give a little bit of money every once in a while. They listen to the preaching by the ministers of God every Sunday. They are church people, church members. That's exactly what they are. I want you to know that I was one of the founding members of this church. You've been dead ever since this church started. What happened to the great doctrines of Christ? What happened to the truth of grace? What has happened when you don't see it lived out in somebody's life? What do we have to say about that? Well, unfortunately, we do get up on our little platforms and we begin judging, and that's not authentic Christianity, is it? I just call it churchianity, because I really think that's what it is. How many have I listened to through the years of men that have professed to believe all the things? All I want is the pure gospel. Just preach it to me straight. I always wonder if they have hearing aids that they turn off when it gets preaching straight. Because they say that all the time, and when you really get down to it, they can talk about it. They know all the language. They are Christianese and everything. They have everything going for them that way. They would impress you by their attendance at great sermons and all the things. They have wept before. I don't know what happened to them when they started weeping. But they can weep. They can shout. They can do all the big amen. They can do everything. However, when it gets right down to it, in the private life, it's something totally different. It's something that, unfortunately, they don't want anybody to know, that what really takes place would probably embarrass heathens. Because heathens don't brag about everything they know and about how religious they are. There's nothing truthful. There's nothing sincere. There's nothing honest. There's nothing just. There's nothing of goodness in those kind of things. Unselfish? Nah. Merciful? No. Humble? Not in this lifetime. Not kind? None of those things. So what is God looking at? He's looking at what he's always looked at, and what repels him more and more than any other things that we do as authentic Christians, but we fall short of the glory of God at times. They're fake. They're counterfeit. And he looks at those things right there and he says, that's nothing but what is worthless, and their lives are a farce. I'm really not trying to be mean this morning. I'm really not. Just wait until I try to be mean. But I think that there are times in our lives, the very life that we see out around us, the very religion that we know, it demands. I mean, at least it does to me. It demands that I speak those things, that there's a warning laid out that there are plenty of people out there that are playing Christianity, and they're not of God. They are not who they say they are. There's nothing spiritual about that. It's just simply a big show. So I laid out a few things, and I'll do it very quickly. You know that's not true either, do you? Okay. How about test? You ever tried to test authenticity of something? Now, I know when I was way back when Joey was living in New York, he bought me this watch. All right, it's one of those watches that looks like one that kind of costs, you know, $10,000, $12,000. Yeah, and he gave it to his dad. I think it probably cost him 10 bucks. You know, well, I wore it because he gave it to me, all right? And it was just one of those knockoffs, you know, that looked like, I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't a Rolex, but it was one of those really, really high dollar things. Well, the crystal broke. So I take it over to this Byron guy on Valley Mills. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I tell him, I said, the crystal broke. I'd like to have it replaced. And he took the watch and he looked at it and he goes, you know this is a fake. I said, maybe. You're kidding me. I gave $5,000 for that watch. No, I didn't say that. I said, yes, I know it's a fake, but my son gave it to me. And can you replace the crystal or not? I mean, do I need to take it over here to Waco Glass or someplace like that and get somebody to replace? No. So he replaced the glass. I didn't know where the watch is now, but it was, I knew it was fake. I mean, come on. You know, we're talking about my son. You know, he's not going to $10,000 watch. No way. Okay. What is truly authentic? What kind of tests can you place to it? The first one that I laid out for us that where does your authentic Christianity reign in your life? Where is it? Is it in your heart? Now, I can tell you this. If it's only in your head, you don't have it. You know, because if it's in your head, you know, there's a lot of people that have, they know the truth. They assent to that truth. They believe the truth. The only problem is that they don't live it. They can talk about it, but according to Jesus, they are wrong in the sight of God. I mean, it's as simple as that. And to me, and to Christ, just because of what he has said, there's nothing worse to Christ than hypocrisy. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God at times. We don't live up to everything we should live up to at times. However, there's a big difference between falling short and being authentic and true than there's being a hypocrite and saying you do all these things and you don't live any of them. When you're dead to God is what he said you are. You're just simply that. You're dead to God. Everything that's given to us by the Holy Spirit is authentic. If the Holy Spirit is living in our lives, that Holy Spirit reins us back in. Does he not?
Yeah.
Does he warn us of when we're getting a little out of line? Well, mine does. What he says to me all the time, you're getting out of line again. He takes our will and focuses on that will and says, you need to have my will. I need to lead you in this path right here. He influences our choices. He influences the decisions that we make. Where does that rely? It has to be in the deepest part of us. It has to be in our inner body, in our heart, or it's not real. But that is one of the tests right there. How about our feelings towards sin? You know, today we hear so much about, they don't even want to mention the word sin. What is it really? Oh, well, you know, it's you made a mistake. Okay, I made a mistake. Oh, you know, it's just a blemish, just a misfortune. No, it's none of those things. It's sin. It's a willful turning from the known word of God. It's doing something that we didn't. Where is your thoughts about sin within your life? Or with how did you even see sin in our world today? Is it something that is real? Is it what it is to God, an abominable thing? Because that's the way it is to God. And we're guilty of it. And we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. We need all those things so that one day we will stand in front of him and we will be called his child. And judgment will not fall on us. But when we don't know what sin is and we don't recognize this, then that says a lot to me. But well, what kind of religion do you have? If you don't see sin as what it really is, do you realize that is the curse that cursed God's perfect creation? It was called sin. It happened in the garden. It's where it came from. If you look on sin in any other way, you're not being honest. Because it's something that damns the soul. And it has to be forgiven. And it has to have the blood of Christ upon it. That's what true Christianity is about. It's recognizing what really is. It's not about, well, I don't feel good about that. Well, get over it. Because it's true, and you need to know it. How about our feelings about Christ? There's a big difference from sin to Jesus. How do you see Jesus Christ? Oh, he's a good teacher. Really? Way more than that. He's a merciful Savior, is he not? He is the most wondrous thing. Every man should give glory to Jesus Christ. That should be the only glory that we give. He's my Redeemer. He's my Deliverer. He is my peace. He's all of these things. And without him, we would have no hope. Do you see Christ like that? Or do we just think, well, we just give him a nod here and there, you know? Well, where's your love? Who brings comfort? He's the light of the world. He is the one that makes a difference. He is that peace that passes all understanding. He's every one of these things. If we just have some kind of little feeling about that, then I'm afraid we don't know him, because he's way, way more than that. How about fruit? And I'm not talking about you take vitamins. I'm talking about how much fruit do you bear in your lives? Isn't that what the Word of God talks about? He said, how will we know them but by their fruits? Isn't that what he said about all those things? We are always, what is sent from heaven by the Holy Spirit is recognized by the fruits that you and I bear. It comes after repentance. It comes through hope. It comes through love. It comes through humility. It comes through spirituality. It comes through kindness. It comes through all the everything that Terrence mentioned this morning. It comes through every one of those things, because by their fruits you shall know them. Does your Christianity produce fruits? How about your habits? How about grace? I bank on that every day. God's got a lot of grace. He has to in my life, that's for sure. He has to have the grace, because I can't live my life by my feelings. You know, I wake up in the morning, my back hurts. Every day. Okay, big deal. My knees are hurting. I'm getting almost as old as Mike. Ronnie had the birthday, not me. Okay, not yet anyway. Who's my comfort? Who's your comfort? Do you get comfort from reading the Word of God? Yes. Do you spend time speaking to God in private? Yes. I mean, that's called prayer. I mean, those things are something that true, authentic Christians do. They honor the Lord with those things. That's the kind of grace that all of our souls need. Mm-hmm. That's everything that we need. That should be more important to each one of us than the next meal or the next drink that we have in life. Obviously, I could stand to lose a little bit by not having some of those meals. But I cannot get away ever at any moment from God's grace. Because that is what is so important. Okay. What is authentic? That's what I've been trying to get to today. And pointing out to each one of us that it's either your life is genuine or it's a fake. There's nothing in between. There's no shadows of gray. There's none of those things. I am not telling you or asking you to look at somebody else. Because that tells me a whole lot right there. If you're worried about what somebody else has been doing, well, then maybe you need to examine what God is doing in you. It's not about your brother, not about your sister, not about mom or dad, not about husband or wife, not about any of those things. The only question that you need to be concerned with, as I need to be concerned with, is my Christianity true and authentic, or is it a counterfeit? Does it measure up to the things, just these simple five things that I gave you, little test that ought to tell you something about it? If there's something missing there, and I'm hoping that you have measured yourself today, not your brother, not somebody sitting in this crowd beside you, honestly, you've looked and you've listened to the word, and you know that this is what God is saying to me. If your heart's right in the sight of God, there should be no problem. Okay? There shouldn't be a problem. I mean, if it's right, you shouldn't have any fear. You shouldn't flinch at all when it comes down to an examination like this. But if you're wrong, and you know it, the sooner you deal with it, the better off you're going to be. I think that is so true. I would much rather say this is time to deal with it right now, to respond to it. You don't. Are you crazy? Are you going to wait till judgment? It's too late then. It's absolutely too late. I mean, if you got any, yeah, I'm going to say it. If you got any brains or you got any sense about you, any reason, any judgment, just listen to what we've talked about right here. They honored me with their lips, but their heart was far from me. Are you honoring God and your heart backing it up? Imperfectly, okay, I got that. But that speaks to authentic character, and that speaks to who a true Christian really, really is. I know sometimes my repentance is weak. I realize that, but it's authentic. I really believe there are some times that my faith is a bit shaky, okay? Where it should be strong, but sometimes it might be a bit shaky, but it's authentic. I'm the guy that's going to pray and say, Lord, help me, you know, help me with my unbelief. I want to believe, but help me with my unbelief. So today, please, just chunk aside, cast it aside, your cloak of religiosity, all right? Throw that thing out. Put on Christ. Put on the one that makes the difference. Be everything that you profess to be. That's what we need to be, right there. Now, you might fall short, as most of us do at times, but you can still be authentic. You can still be real about it. I know that occasionally you stumble, all right? But it's not a lifestyle. Sometimes we mess up, but it's not a lifestyle. Because my lifestyle is, I love Jesus. And I'm never satisfied unless I have his love upon me. So this morning, is it authentic? Is it real? Or is it something that sounded good and I thought I'd say it? No. Our lives have to be before him, weighed out by what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. And if the Spirit is speaking, it may be what he always does. He may be saying, you have it. And I'm pretty sure that that is the truth. But he may be saying, you know, you bought into something that was not true. And you need to get that right. Because it can happen. And we need to realize it can happen. And if you didn't like what I had to say this morning, please don't come to my Sunday school class. Because I'll tell you right now, it came out of the 6th chapter of Hebrews. And it's something that says, you got to be real. If you want to be pleasing unto Christ, just be real. Okay? Let's pray.